You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
The following Lutheran Hour sermon was presented by Dr. Wallace Schultz. Its title, There Is Life After Death. Now here is Dr. Schultz.
The statistics are fascinating. In 1990, 78% of Americans believed that there is a heaven where people who have lived good lives go to be rewarded. But only 60% of the United States population believes that there is a hell where those who have led bad lives eventually end up. According to the Gallup poll, those people most likely to believe in heaven are women, blacks, adults under 30, and evangelicals. More women than men believe in heaven. However, when it comes to hell, just as many men as women believe in that place described in the Bible as a place where the worms never stop eating and the fire never goes out. 3 out of 4 people who believe in heaven expect to get there. 30% say that their chances of arriving in heaven are excellent. 49% of those desiring to go to heaven feel that their chances of passing through the gates of paradise are only good at best. So now that we have heard the latest statistics and what many people today believe regarding the existence and the potential population of heaven and hell, what do you think the Bible itself teaches on these subjects? In the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 25, we read the words of Jesus when he said, "But when the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne, and all the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them from one another, just as the shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will put the sheep on his right and the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on his right, 'Come, you are blessed of my Father. Inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world.' For, Jesus will say, 'When I was hungry, you gave me something to eat. And when I was thirsty, you gave me drink. And when I was a stranger, you invited me in. Naked, you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me.' But then the righteous will answer Jesus, saying, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? And when did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison or come to you?' Then Jesus said, 'The king will answer and say to them, Truly I say unto you, when you had compassion and helped one of these brothers of mine, even the least of them, you did it to me. And then he will also say to those on his left, Depart from me, accursed ones, into the eternal fire, which has been prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me.'" Now at this point, Jesus explained, those who did not serve God will say, "Lord, when did we see you hungry, or thirsty, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not take care of you?" And Jesus will explain, "To the extent that you did not help those who were in need, you did not help me. And then these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life." And so there we have it. We have heard about what Jesus said about heaven and hell and the final day of judgment. And we have also heard some of the latest statistics about what our present population believes regarding heaven and hell. Statistics are indeed interesting and even fascinating, but in some cases they don't really mean all that much. For example, if 10% or 20% or even 30% of our population believed that the sun would not come up in the morning, what they believed would not affect reality one iota. In spite of their negative feelings, the sun would still come up. And so likewise, even though a certain percentage of our current population does not believe in heaven or hell, this makes absolutely no difference. The Bible teaches clearly that there is a heaven and a hell. These fundamental facts cannot be changed. There is one thing, however, that can be changed, and it is the number of people who are going to be in hell. And this change in the population of hell must begin with you, and it must begin with me also. Because you see, the central message of the Bible is this: God has so loved the world that he sacrificed his only Son on the cruel crucifixion cross, so that now whoever trusts and believes in the salvation power of this atonement act of God in Christ will not perish. No, these believers in the Lord Jesus Christ will not go to hell. Instead, they will inherit everlasting life. They will go to heaven. In his enthusiasm for the Christian faith, and with a conviction which frequently swept others along, the Apostle Paul describes the glorious hope of heaven when he writes to believers in Thessalonica. "Let us, who are of the day," the Apostle says, "let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet the hope of salvation. For God has not destined us for wrath, but for obtaining salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live together with him." The only actress to have ever won 3 Oscars for being Best Actress of the Year, Katharine Hepburn, spoke freely several years ago about her total unconcern about the basic Bible teachings regarding the hereafter. Hepburn said, "All things must die. That doesn't bother me, and we should not have life everlasting." Hepburn then also said that she got a lot of her ideas about religion from her father. And when her dad was aging and suffering, he told his daughter, "I suppose that I should be giving this concept of hereafter some consideration, but I just can't bring myself to it." Finally, at the end of the interview, Katharine Hepburn said, "Some people believe in hell, but I do the best I can. I try not to do rotten things," and she concluded, "I don't think I am going to be sent to hell because I am a non-believer." Hepburn said that she did not believe that anyone would be sent to hell for being a non-believer. But listen to the words of Jesus, recorded in the Bible in the Gospel of Mark. "He who has believed," Jesus said, "and has been baptized shall be saved." But then Jesus added, "And he who has disbelieved shall be condemned." And so then here we are today. Which road are you, and which road am I going to take? Do we believe someone who is famous and has won 3 Oscar awards? Or do we believe, trust, and follow another person who was not only put to death publicly, but someone who was raised again from the dead and was seen by over 500 people after the resurrection? Therefore, in the future, when you listen to public opinion polls as to what most people today believe regarding heaven and hell, and if you listen to celebrities to hear what they think, it is not surprising that many people today are very confused. However, consider then also for a moment, if you read the Bible, and especially if you read the New Testament, consider the fact that in the Bible you will become acquainted with another quite different group of people. These individuals were not confused about heaven and hell and about life after death. These people were convinced. Why? Very simply because these people had seen firsthand the one who had been persecuted and put to death. These people saw the promised Messiah who had been to hell and through hell, and then he appeared again to them publicly, alive after his crucifixion. Listen also then as one of these eyewitnesses of Jesus testifies to the crucified and resurrected Christ. In his first epistle, the Apostle John writes, "What was from the beginning, and what we have heard, and what we have seen with our eyes, and what we beheld, and our hands handled, concerning the word of life, and we have seen and bear witness and proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested to us. Yes, what we have seen and heard, we proclaim to you also, that you also may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write, the Apostle John states, so that our joy might be made complete. If you therefore today are tempted to doubt this testimony of an eyewitness of Jesus, if you are inclined to say that this was no more than a hallucination, or if you tend to feel that this gripping testimony to the risen Christ is no more than an expected report of dedicated followers, long before convinced or duped, then let me say this. It would be very, very unusual, wouldn't you agree, or abnormal for the early believers of Jesus to follow the Savior, especially when you read about the bloody persecution and the torture and the terror that these early believers experienced. We read that the early believers and others experienced mockings and scourgings, yes, also chains and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were tempted. They were put to death with the sword. They went about in sheepskins, in goatskins, being destitute, afflicted. They wandered in deserts and mountains and caves, and they lived in holes in the ground. Oh, now, my friend, tell me seriously, do you think that anyone today would go through this type of hell if they were not absolutely convinced that the crucified Jesus was also the resurrected and the now living Christ? Talking about heaven and hell and Jesus coming again brings us also to a very timely subject. According to the church calendar, today is the first Sunday in the Advent season. And this season of Advent serves as a time of preparation for Christmas as we recall the first coming of Christ. And this is when the Word, the eternal Logos, took on flesh and blood and became a little baby. And this baby, Jesus, was born in Bethlehem. And now during these next weeks before Christmas, we celebrate also another coming, the second coming of Jesus. In the second coming, we see Jesus Christ is coming as the judge on the last day. And this means that we need to prepare. Yes, we need to empty out our brain of all the wrong information that we have gradually accumulated about God and about Jesus and about heaven and about hell. And we need to reconsider not what celebrities have said about heaven and hell and the final day of judgment, but about what God has said, and therefore what is really going to happen in the future. As we do this, our evaluation is surely going to be a very somber experience. During the past year, you have not and I have not lived up to what God expects of us. But praise be to the grace and the mercy of God. For when we by faith believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, then our gracious and loving Heavenly Father treats us not as we deserve, but rather as His mercy supplies. The great Apostle Peter sums up the glorious Advent hope when he says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His great mercy has caused us to be born again unto a living hope, through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." This resurrection hope in Christ obtains for us an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away. It is reserved in heaven for you. Oh yes, God has spoken. Salvation for you and me has been accomplished through the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We can either disbelieve and remain indifferent to Jesus and suffer the eternal consequences in hell, or we can receive God's gracious invitation and confess our past failures and flee to Him for mercy and healing and eternal hope. At the beginning of this Advent season, this is a time for you to prepare to see Jesus, and it is a time for you by faith to embrace and to love and to trust in Him. Then you can be absolutely sure that on the final day of judgment, Jesus will turn to you and say, "Come, you are blessed of my Father. Inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." Oh, my friend, forget the uncertainties of all the statistics of heaven and hell, and instead embrace and trust the sure and certain gospel message of salvation now available to you in the sin cleansing and healing power of the blood of Jesus Christ. This is your only hope, my friend, and so let this gospel be the start of a certain and joy-filled future for you and your entire family. Amen.
We hope you've enjoyed this message. The Lutheran Hour is a listener-supported ministry of the International Lutheran Layman's League.